Okay, for those of you who just joined the call, today we're going to be discussing meeting your goals and objectives that you write and include in a grant application. If you have not done so, please go ahead and mute your line by hitting star 6. I will be taking questions at the conclusion of the call. To unmute your line, please do so by hitting star 7. So star 6 will mute your line, and star 7 will unmute your line. If you want to hold all of your questions till the end, that I would appreciate it. Just make a note, and we'll come back, and we should have plenty of time to answer any questions that you may have. Today, we're just going to be going over general overview of developing goals and objectives, in particular when we're talking about applying for either grant funding and or foundations. In regards to how and the best way to go about creating those, the general overview of what goals and objectives are, and how to go about either fixing or having evaluation of your program to make sure and ensure that you are properly meeting those goals and objectives. And as I mentioned, we will be going and we'll have plenty of time to answer any questions that you may have. So we're going to go ahead and begin. If we start with slide 2, the differences between goals and objectives, this is an important determination because they are two different things. Sometimes people get confused by the fact that you should have goals and objectives within your program design, in particular within your specific funding design. Keep in mind that goals are your overall mission or purpose of the program, not what a program will do. So that's really important to think through, is that the overall mission or purpose of the program is your goal, the ultimate thing that you want to accomplish. Most times these are stated for you in the application or the funding request, and they should be in line with your program goals. Something, for instance, here is if you look on this slide, the goals for the grant per diem program are listed here. These are what everything in your project should come back to and tie back to. All of the activities that you are going to be doing should tie back to these specific goals. Your goal should be firm, and it should not change, and it should be known to all. So it's something that you will readily publicize, and people will be very aware of the fact that of the ultimate purpose of what you're trying to do. In most instances, if you're working with homeless veterans, a pretty general goal would be something along the lines of to help end homeless veterans, to help end homelessness among veterans. That's a very broad goal, and your objectives that you're going to be meeting that would help go to that. But it would be something that is the overall mission or purpose of the program, not specifically how it's going to meet those. And difference is an objective. An objective is a specific and measurable step or outcome that leads to the goal. So this is something that determines if you're able to or in the process of meeting those goals. They help set program priorities. Specifically, they tie back to your program and allow you to meet those goals and show that you're making successes and strides. This is how you're going to monitor your progress towards the goal. And importantly, it sets targets for accountability. It measures success and it measures failure. One of the things is often it's very easy sometimes to get money for funding. It's hard to keep the money for funding because you're not able to show exactly what you're using the funds for. So by having clear objectives, you are going to be able to show exactly what your program has done over the past year or whatever time frame that you're being funded for. You can and most likely will have several objectives within your organization, but everything will tie back to that original goal or goals that you had stated in the previous slide as your overall mission. And these can change based on your program design, and if there are changes that are needed within the program year, these can change. However, once again, your goals should be something that do not change, and those are standard throughout your program. If you just joined us, if you could go ahead and hit star 6 on your phone to go ahead and mute your line, that would be great. We can keep the background noise down. I would appreciate it. Okay, moving on. So we've talked a little bit about the difference between goals and objectives. And now I want to talk a little bit about how you go about creating objectives. This is how you go through defining objectives in measurable terms, identifies what information you will need to collect in the program. Writing an objective to measure change requires, and these things are very important to consider when you're talking and looking at your objectives. You're going to have 2 points in time, now and later, for instance, now and before, then and now. So you're going to show between two different points in time. So starting now, you're going to have a baseline number. If 6 months is your target, in 6 months you're going to have a target. So it's two different instances within a time frame. You're also going to use action verbs. For instance, reduce, improve, increase, expand, change. This is specifically what action you're going to take in order to accomplish your objectives. You're also going to identify change in what. What is exactly you're going to do? Are you going to, whatever that action verb is, what exactly are you going to show that action in? Are you going to reduce the number of homeless veterans? Are you going to increase their knowledge and employment? Are you going to improve their life skills? Something in particular that shows change in what. You also want to make sure that you identify for whom. Are you going to be providing this to the homeless veterans in your community, the community itself? Are you going to be providing to the families? So specifically, you need to make sure all of these points are taken into consideration because it allows for accountability and it shows change and progress towards meeting your ultimate goals and objectives. Okay, so your measurable objectives need to be specific. You always state who is involved, the people, the places, behaviors, knowledge, and skills that are changed as a result of the program. What are the desired outcomes? You want to be specific and make sure that you know what the intended behavior, knowledge, and or skills that should result from the program or activity and how it is measured. So you're going to know who is involved, what are the outcomes, and how the progress is measured. If there is a proficiency level, so if you're, for instance, in a school and you want to raise their grades up a letter, so from an F to up to a C or a D, if you're talking about it, and then you're going to, so you're being clear about what type of standard you're going to be set into place. You're also going to identify the criteria for success. Are you going to be using a test? Are you going to be using assessments? Something that will show, and it will be the same throughout. That's one thing that you want to keep in mind. No matter what type of evaluation you're doing, it's going to be the same throughout your program. So you're going to give the same test or the same case management evaluation, the same proficiency exam to each individual. You're not going to change those. Everything is going to be standard in that regard. So you're going to identify the criteria for success, and then you're going to say when the outcome will occur. Is it going to happen in 6 months, a year? You're going to want to be specific about that. And then identify the time frame. So if you're going to if you just joined, if you could hit *6 to mute your line, that way we can keep some of the background noise down, that would be great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. So as I was saying, you're going to talk about when the outcome will occur, and then identify the time frame for success. You know, after the person's been in the program for 6 months and within a year, something along those lines will be able to show you that. Once again, you're always going to tie these back to your program, and evaluation and setting up that evaluation beforehand is key. Measurable objectives also need to be specific in how you will achieve each of your goals, and you use your objectives to do that. So once again, your goals are set. You're going to use your objectives to meet those goals. They should be vary to the specific needs of your target population or the program, and they should be focused in on a target population. So, for instance, if you're working with women veterans and you're working on case management with them, they're going to have a different set of needs than possibly some of the male veterans that you may be working with. Keep in mind that priority is usually given to those applications that describe specific measurable objective and details. It shows that you have a clear understanding of needs, and it shows that you want, and it shows that you are able to focus in on those, and it shows that you're able to see outcomes. Once again, that evaluation is key. Funders are not going to want to give you funds if you can't show what you're doing with your funding. Within the application, you also want to address the housing and services that you'll help clients. Since most individuals are going to be working with homeless veterans, it's vital that you talk about the different incorporation of the housing and services that clients will receive, the evaluation of the program, and how the modifications will be made. These are all crucial things within the application. You're going to tell them what types of services are offered, how you're going to evaluate, and how you're going to make changes. This is kind of the full circle of your program design. Is you put it into place, you evaluate it, and then you fix any problems or holes that may come into place. Funders in most instances are fine with the fact that you're not, if you're upfront with them and tell them that you're having issues with your goals and objectives, are a little bit more lenient with you than if you wait till the end of your funding cycle to let them know that you haven't been able to meet those goals and objectives. So priority is always given to those organizations who clearly define what those objectives and what those goals are and the services that are going to be offered. And those are always given more either points or leveraging because of that. So we've talked a little bit about the different things that are involved with measurable objectives and the things that need to be included. And I'm going to go through how you go about getting a simple way to make sure that your organization is able to create and satisfy those different criteria that we talked about. And this is the process of writing SMART objectives. It's a pretty well-known concept throughout the nonprofit world, but it is a simple way to make sure that you're covering the basis when it comes to the different objectives and the different aspects that should be included. So starting with the S, which is specific, this will allow others to clearly understand what you are looking to do. Specific in the meaning that you're going to be very direct about who you want to and what you want to achieve. So this is where the action comes involved. Are we talking what action, behavior, or achievement is desired in this? So when we talked before about some of the things that need to be included, we talked about action verbs. This is where it comes into play. This is the specific thing that you're going to be looking at. If a change, so if you're going to increase knowledge, are we talking about where you are currently and then where you're going to be in the future? So you want to include both the current level and the desired level. So you talk about how you have a baseline and where you're going to look to, but you're going to show that change within that. So you're going to be specific in how you're going to look and measure that. And you're going to state any specific target audience that you may have. If you create very general objectives, it allows for too much interpretation and not enough evaluation. If you don't talk about specifically what target population, what action you're going to provide, and what change you're looking to do, you're not going to be able to allow those reading your objectives to fully understand the scope of the services you're looking to offer. So if we look on the next slide, here's an example in regards to being specific, serving more veterans. It's a very broad objective. A better one would be serving more veterans than I do now. So you're talking about a time, you're including that time in that aspect, and you're talking about a target veteran, you're talking about a target population, not just the homeless, you're talking about the veteran population. An even better choice would be to serve 5 veterans a day. So now you're talking about the number, the quantity of veterans, and what time frame you're looking to do that. However, the best example in this to incorporate all of those aspects would be to increase the number of veterans I serve on a daily basis from 1 to 3 for at least 30 minutes. So now we know the specific action that you're looking to do, what change you're looking to accomplish, so you're going to go from 1 to 3, and what type of, and you're giving the quantitative number of 30 minutes a day. So this would be specific, and it will explain when someone who is reading your application will understand entirely what you're looking to do within your program design in this particular objective. The next one is measurable. Measurable, by stating that, we're talking about how to be able to determine the extent to which the action, behavior, achievement has been accomplished. This is the big part of your evaluation, one of the big parts of your evaluation. Can you evaluate what you're asking? So if you're asking your case managers to talk about how many people are enrolled in your program, are they counting these numbers? Are they keeping track of this? Do you have cards that individuals swipe when they come in? You need to make sure that whatever you're asking can be obtained and it's something that is being done on a continual basis. You need to make sure that the resources are available to give you what you want and what you need and how you will staff those. So, for instance, if you are counting how many people come into your program a day, is there someone at the front desk that takes tabs on that? Or do you have to hire someone for that? And is it cost effective for you to do that? So by talking about being measurable, you're going to identify a system or a method to track and record the actions. So whatever you're going to do in this sense, if you're going to serve veterans on a daily basis, how are you going to count how many come in during a day? Are you going to use an existing system or are you going to create one? And are you going to be able to staff or fund that once you create it? And something that needs to be reliable. So if you have someone who is counting during the day, what if they take a break? What's the tally system? How is that all put into place? And you really need to think through that the numbers and the quantities that you get are something that are reliable. If your veterans are required to do a log sheet or something along those lines, is it a dependable resource? Are you able to get those accurate numbers? Because it doesn't help you if those numbers aren't accurate, because it doesn't provide the proper evaluation and the accurate evaluation of your program. The next is A, which is achievable. Can you really accomplish this? Now, I get a lot of questions about how do we make sure that we're not going too high or we're going too low. Something to keep in mind is that you can usually update your objectives in the future, and it's better to start small and overreach slightly than to not meet your goal or objectives at all. So I always tell organizations to start small, but not so small that you overreach by 100 to 150%. Ideally, you want to overreach by about 10 to 15% if that, because it shows that you have a good understanding of the types of services you're offering, the target population you're working with, and the types of services that they most need. So you want to make sure that it is achievable and that you can actually accomplish this. Do you have a reasonable belief in your ability to accomplish the objective? Consider all of your resources and potential obstacles. As I mentioned, if you've got things in place or you have to put a new system into place, make sure that all of those things are taken into consideration. And then the sure thing versus the stretch. You want to have a good inline factor there. You don't want to have it so high that you can't, but so low that you're going to overreach. So try to find something to target in the middle and reach for success when you can. Example here is I currently serve one veteran for 30 minutes a day. I should be able to increase to 3 veterans a day. Eventually, I would like to serve 3 or 4 more a day. This is something that you want to really think into effect. Do you have the staff capacity? Do you have the rooms? Do you have case managers to do that? Do they have the knowledge and the expertise? Is it realistic to think that they could serve 4 or more veterans in one day in addition to the types of work that they're already doing? And you want to make sure that it's something that everyone is on board with, because if just because you think it's achievable, you want to make sure that the people that are actually doing the work are able to and are willing to accomplish that that goal or objective. R stands for relevant. Achievement of the objective should be meaningful. Is it important to your organization? Does it impact the program goal? Is this something that ties back to that goal? And does it really make a difference in what that goal is? And that is vital. So for instance, we talk about serving veterans is important to my country and is important to my community and to my country. By taking one small step at a time, our organization is going to serve more veterans. This is a good example of how small changes are easier to implement. And you can get buy-in from others by showing the importance to them. But everything has to tie back to that original goal. If your objectives do not and are not relevant, you're not going to have buy-in and you're not going to have the ability to achieve those by not having it be relevant to what you're looking for. You also want to make sure that it's time-bound. When would and by when should you accomplish the objective? So you're going to clearly state the target date. In most instances, this is going to be your funding period. However, if you have a multi-year grant, I suggest taking it down into yearly increments. But are you on a fiscal year? When is your fiscal year? Do you start in July? Do you start in October? Do you start in January? What time frame are we talking about here? And the more specific you can be, the better off you will be in the end. You're going to begin the objective with the target date so they have a clear understanding of what you're talking about. So, for instance, here we're back to our original example. By August 31st, 2009, I will increase the amount of veterans I serve on a daily basis from 1 to 3 veterans a day for 30 minutes apiece. So we know exactly when we're talking about the start frame. So by August 31st of this year, you're going to have your veterans increase by that. These will measure success, and it'll tie within your program, and it allows for you to do an evaluation or any changes by giving a specific date. It gives a cutoff point, and it allows you to see what your progress has been to that point. And the clearer that you are within those numbers, the better off, and it'll allow for no confusion. If you list a start date and an end date, then you have a very good idea of when you're going to capture that information, and there is no question of how we got that actual data from that. So now that we talked a little bit specifically about how you get to those measurable goals and objectives, evaluation is vital. One of the best ways to keep funding is to continue with your evaluation and to modify your program design as you move forward. You want to make sure that you'll address any changes that are needed and be aware that there are going to be some changes that are needed. Even the most perfect program can have needs change because you're going to expand or look to create new program designs as you move forward. I suggest scheduling a quarterly review of your objectives to see how they're progressing. Most grants and foundations funding will require you to send in a quarterly review. If not, I highly suggest that you go ahead and do that because it allows you to see any pitfalls or any areas that you need to improve before the end of the funding period. What is the process of evaluation? Are you going to do it quarterly? Are you going to do tests? Are you going to do exams? They should tie back to each one of those objectives, and it should be very clear how you're going to evaluate them beforehand, before they're put into place, so that way you can make sure that you have the necessary things to capture the data or information in place. I encourage you to think of all parties involved. It's always sometimes easy to focus in on the clients that you're working with, but if you're working in a permanent supportive housing community, maybe you should take into consideration the community's views. What was their do a survey at the very beginning of the program to determine if they are on board or if they see value in the program. And then at the end, talk about and have objectives to educate the community and get them involved with the project. Hopefully you'll see something improved in regards to the fact that they see a better community feel, better atmosphere within the community, those types of things. But think about everybody involved, not just the clients that you're working with. Survey your partners in the community that you're working in, as this allows and sometimes shows some of the greatest successes that you're able to produce. A few tips that you should take into consideration is always tie your objectives to the stated goals. I know I've said this before, but if you cannot tie your objectives to your goals, then they're not worth doing. It allows for continuity, and it shows that you're able to focus in and you're able to really understand the population needs that you're serving. Do not overreach. Start small and start and work from there. It allows for growth potential, and it allows your organization to really see how it manages and gets things going, especially if you're a new project or a new program. Always start small and work from there. Take time to evaluate if your program is working. It's most important that you do that throughout the program year, because change is okay. It's only natural that things will progress. A good example of this is if you're working on employment right now, I'm sure those of you who are working and trying to find employment opportunities are having a little bit harder time in regards to working with homeless veterans. That obviously needs to have a change in format. Do we work a little bit more on resume development? Do we talk to the partners in our community more? That type of objective will change based on your environment. Not everything you're going to have control over, but you need to make sure that you allow for change and that you have a process to include that in your work plans. Remember, you are bound by your application. Whatever you submit is what you have to do. If you don't remember anything else from this call, remember that whatever you write within your application is what you're bound to. So you always have to make sure that they're reasonable and that it's something that you can achieve, because if you can't achieve the goals and objectives that you have within an application and you get funding, you're not going to be able to keep that funding. Tie your objectives back to the target population you want to serve. This will give you a better idea of the services that need to be offered, as well as how you can help meet and understand the needs of those groups. When you're talking about supportive services, you need to be specific and linked to the objectives. For instance, I talked about if you offer job training, make sure you offer specific employment resources. So whatever those supportive services are, they need to be specific, and you must tie those services back to and link to the objectives you're referring to. Above all, and most importantly, if you are having issues and you're not able to, and you know you're not going to be able to meet your goals and objectives, contact your grant officer or foundation representative as soon as you see a problem, and more importantly, be prepared to give a suggestion of how you'll fix it. So if you know that you're not going to be able to meet those goals and objectives, how are you going to address it? And they'll be more inclined to work with you and focus in on how they're able to help you if they know that you're willing to work and evaluate and improve the process that you've got already in place. Issues do arise, but facing them first is always better, and then better than if you wait for them to be pointed out to you. At that point, they'll snowball, and you'll be getting to a point where you won't be able to catch up, and most likely your funding might even be pulled before your time frame is up. Keep in mind that most grants do allow changes as long as you can show clear understanding of why you're not meeting your goals and objectives, but you must be on top of it, and you have to make sure that you are pointing out those things. Clear communication is vital when you're talking about these things. So I've got my email address listed there, which is millistone@nchv.org, and our website is listed there as well. Today we just went over generally about goals and objectives. These all should be taken into consideration and provide some basics on what's involved and how you should take into consideration before you start writing your grant applications. But goals and objectives are an important part of your program design in regards to how you'll provide services, how you will evaluate services, and what changes and how they'll be implemented within your program. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have now. You can hit *7 to unmute your line, and I'll be glad. We should have plenty of time to take as many questions as we can. So just be patient as we move forward, but we should be able to get all the questions today. Are there any questions? *7 to unmute your line and ask a question.
Yes, hi. This is Greg Zarbo in Dallas. I didn't receive the email about this particular call, and I had registered for all the calls that were upcoming. So wondering if I might get the slides that you...
They're on our website.
Okay.
If you go underneath the conference call page, they're listed underneath the option description for today's call. And if you can't, then if you can't get them for some reason, send me an email and I'll forward them to you. But they are available on our website.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? *7 to unmute your line. We will be putting the audio of this call probably within by the end of the week, maybe early next week, and we'll let you know when the audio is available for you to take a listen to. And if you do or did not receive the handouts, they are available on our website on the conference call page underneath the meeting goals and objectives conference call section. Any questions? Star 7. Okay. Well, I don't want to keep anyone if there are no questions. Like I said, I'd be happy to answer anything as time comes up, or if you look through and have additional questions in the future, please feel free to give me an email or a call. My phone number is 202-546-1969, and I'd be happy to answer any specific questions that you may have or come up with in the next couple of weeks. All right, one last chance. Any other questions? All right, well, I thank everyone for their time, and I wish everyone a great rest of their afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.